welcome back for another episode with your internet historians. How y'all doing?
Good.
For a second, I was expecting somebody else to respond. It's like, oh, it's only us.
Hey. Dude, Alec, I was telling Nicole about the artwork in her background. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you heard, but like one of the dudes, this artist, Sean Parker, hired him to like do some artwork. And then later in their bigger office, Mark Zuckerberg also hired him to paint an artwork on a wall, and they couldn't pay him because they didn't have any money. So they just paid him with shares. And so like when they IPO'd, he just became a millionaire overnight. And it's funny because I guess when they told him about what Facebook is, he was like, okay, that sounds weird. Like he was just kind of like, whatever.
He's just okay, yeah. What wall do you want me to paint on?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's too funny.
Anyways, he could be a billionaire today. I mean, I think he's a very successful artist anyways, because I heard him on Joe Rogan and he was doing some crazy adventure.
Joe Rogan got COVID.
Did he?
Oh, really?
Today?
Today.
Well, I mean, he posted about it like yesterday or something like that, but even though he says he's not a complete, you know, vaccine denier or whatever, but he had the stance of, if I'm young and I'm healthy, why should I get vaccinated? And it's now you're sick.
I never know what to think about him, because I feel like he's all over the place with stuff. And like, I've only heard a few, because Chase listens to him every now and then. I don't know if he still does actively, but he would a lot. And every now and then when I would like listen in on whatever the guy was saying, or if we were driving somewhere, I would just be like, this is stupid. Like, I don't know. Like, what are they talking about? And I don't know, just like, I feel like, I don't know. I just don't like when people try and seem like they're super like insightful, or like they have like all, I don't know. And I feel like he does that sometimes, where I feel like he thinks whatever he's saying is just like super smart and intellectual and stuff. And I'm just like, no, I think you just have an opinion and you just like to talk about stuff. That's everybody. So you're not special.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed that like he kind of is all over the place, because I loved, like, my family, when we were younger, we'd watch Fear Factor, and I just love Fear Factor. And he's like, seemed like a chill dude. And now he's just kind of, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what to feel about
him. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know about you, dude. I'm like, some of the things I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But the other things I'm just like, huh, that's what you think? And like, I don't know. Yeah.
Listen to him that often. Yeah. I think the few times I have, it's like, okay, cool, whatever. But his podcasts are so long.
I think he gets interesting people on his podcast.
He does. Yeah.
But yeah.
Because I think a couple of weeks ago we were listening to his podcast because he had a girl who escaped North Korea.
Oh, I think, yeah, you remember you telling.
Yeah, dude, it literally, like, Louise and I could not stop talking about it, because it was so crazy, and it makes you look at everything kind of differently because of how hard she had it before she escaped. And you know, those people who are still in North Korea are having a hard time.
Yeah.
But that's it. And then I think like the person or two, I think when I was like driving back home and I needed like a long podcast, I think I just skipped to the next episode. It was some dude, and yeah, they were just kind of like, I don't know, I wasn't even listening. I was like, okay, I just need somebody talking so I won't fall asleep.
Yeah. And his episodes are freaking long as hell.
Yeah, that's the only reason why, like, sometimes I'll listen to him, is because if I need to listen something for a very long time, I just know he's a good one. I don't think he has that many ads, right? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, because sometimes with My Favorite Murder, you know, I'm just like pressing fast forward because they're like, they've got three ads in there, and you're like, okay.
The one that I listened to, the No Sleep podcast, I like, because they used to play, I don't know, I think they kind of switch it up. Sometimes they'll play it in the beginning, and like sometimes they'll do one in the middle too. But yeah, whenever it is, I just like 15 second, like whatever, and like you keep hitting it.
Yeah.
So I hear the theme song play and then I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So let's get into today's episode. And we will be discussing the history behind the movie The Social Network. In 2003, Harvard undergrad and computer genius Mark Zuckerberg begins work on a new concept that eventually turns into the global social network known as Facebook. 6 years later, he is one of the youngest billionaires ever, but Zuckerberg finds that his unprecedented success leads to both personal and legal complications when he ends up on the receiving end of two lawsuits, one involving his former friend. Also, just while reading that, before we talk about like whatever our thoughts on the film itself, when did you guys first sign up for Facebook?
I think 2010. I knew about it I knew about it in 2009, but I was like a hater because
because
it's, I just like, we, you know, we already had like MySpace and stuff, and I was like, why do I have to sign up for a whole new one to interact with my friends? It's like, so I just felt like, why do we need two platforms, you know? But then I finally eventually signed up for Facebook, and I was like, this is better.
I think the same. Yeah, like around 2009 was when I graduated high school. My friends were all trying to convince me to sign up, and I did not want to. But I remember at my like graduation, not even my graduation party, but I just remember people were at my house after we had already graduated. And then one of my friends finally convinced me to sign up because she's like, it'll be like easier to, for us to like all like talk to each other, blah, 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 blah. I was like, fine. So that, cause I was not even really into MySpace that much either. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm just not really, I was like, big into MySpace. Really? Man. My whole life was on MySpace. Oh yeah. 100%. I was like, I had the HTML down. I was making layouts. I was,
you were coding. Like over here coding and shit.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I just, same.
Yeah. And like I don't think I ever really posted anything great. Cause you know, they get your little statuses. I mean, yeah, they still have it the same. I forget that Facebook still exists. I'm over here thinking it's like MySpace.
I was going to say, you're anymore. Not even on Facebook.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Like, I don't have Facebook, but yeah, I just feel like just anything I posted, like, it's kind of just funny. Like, I remember going back into some of my old posts and I'm just like, why was I the way that I was? Like, it's just like kind of cringe. Like some of the things I'm just like, oh God, glad I don't have it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really different now. I don't know if it's, well, first of all, obviously it's evolved in such a huge way, but you know, we are older and we say a lot of different things than we did then. Yeah.
It's funny to be like, just thinking about like earlier statuses and stuff. It was funny because now people will write like a whole, you know, book or whatever. But like back then it would be like your name. So it'd be like, Alec is feeling something or whatever. Like it like very specific was like how you're feeling or what you're doing. It was like a sentence. It was super weird.
Totally.
But yeah, it's kind of funny though, that we're also against getting it, because I remember, because I went to an early college high school, and at the time you had to have like a college email or whatever to sign up for it still. And so everybody was like so excited at my high school because like, oh, we have college emails because we're at an early college high school. Ooh, let's sign up. And then it started opening up more, and you could just join with whatever. And I remember Lizzie Grace specifically, shout out to Lizzie Grace. It's like, you have to get on it. Cause she went to a different high school than me. And I was just like, I don't know, man, it seems lame. So yeah. It was just,
I feel like
she like forced me.
I mean, I don't know if it was during our time where they already opened it up to like any person. Yeah. You don't have to be in college to do it. I don't really remember, but I feel like, yeah, once like I had family members that were on there, that's when I'm like, okay, this isn't cool anymore. You know, like, yeah. This isn't like an interesting platform anymore for me.
I mean, the other cool thing I think that MySpace like didn't have is that you could download the app on your phone. Cause you know, obviously if we ever wanted to do anything on MySpace, we'd wait until we came home to like post anything or whatever. And then with Facebook, like now it's an instant, like we were able to like write whatever we were feeling right there and then, take a picture of whatever we're eating, post it right there and then, and all that. It, you know, that was the exciting part. It's like, I could say this now, you know.
I feel like I've always just been like a lurker on every single website platform, because on MySpace I hardly ever posted anything ever. I just always just looked at what people posted.
Really? And you like wouldn't even do like those like quizzes?
I didn't do bulletins or whatever. Totally,
yeah, I did that.
I don't know why I didn't. I guess I just felt like I didn't have anything to say. I don't know. I'm just never posted anything on their Facebook. I obviously posted stuff, but I feel like still was just mainly just something that I like watch. And especially like on Instagram now, I literally post once every like few months. And then,
Instagram's,
I mean, I guess like mostly one. Post on stories though. I guess that's a little different, because I feel like that's just kind of like the Snapchat, and I'm more likely to post.
I was
going to
say,
versus,
because stories now is like Snapchat, and it's just, how weird. And you know, Facebook owns Instagram. Yeah. So Facebook has just taken over and everything. Taken everybody out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway,
what are you guys' opinions on the movie? Did you like the movie or not?
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet.
We've just been down the memory lane right now this whole time.
It was weird. It was weird watching it because of how different Facebook is now.
I was going to say that, and it feels like almost like it's dated now. Because I remember when this movie came out and I was like, oh my God, that's like cool. It's like a movie about Facebook. And then watching it this time, I was like, whoa, this is like so like almost like ancient now and like modern times, you know, and it's just weird.
And I feel like all the actors in it look like babies, like they're literal children.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you know what I didn't like? I don't know why they had to include like that whole storyline of the of Brenda Song's character. I feel bad because like I'm like, why do we have to have like a crazy girlfriend in there? You know, it's like kind of not necessary. Why did she have to be?
I guess she didn't really drive anything. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm like now I'm like thinking back. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I guess she didn't really like have a purpose other than just being a random thing where he's just like, we break up or whatever. Like,
yeah, and it was kind of awkward because I felt like they're trying to show how these two guys are interested in Asian women because Mark's married to, I think, a Chinese woman, and Eduardo is married to, I think,
didn't they say something about Asian women in?
Yeah, they did.
The Jewish fraternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But both of them are with Asian women, like they've married Asian women. And I don't know if they were trying to like say something about that, but I was like, y'all icky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all now that you say that, I didn't like really like connect the dots on that. Why do we have to put that in there?
Yeah. So. She didn't really have a point at all.
Yeah. And then his wife, I don't think they met when he was going through this Facebook stuff.
But I think that girl was like, or at least based on a real person, right? Because he was dating some girl during this time. And I think they all did go.
Again, I feel like it was unnecessary. I don't
know. But yeah, it didn't like drive the story in any way. It didn't like, you know, like, what is it? Further the story along or like create anything new or not even new. Just like, I don't know. Like it wasn't any roadblock or anything that they had for themselves. It was just like, oh, she's burning his shit in the trash can. Yeah. And now they're breaking up. Like,
she's giving him a blowjob in the back of the store. Exactly. It's like, really? So
you're very right, Lisa.
I didn't like that. I also felt like
it was weird. Maybe, well, sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, what you just said, maybe, I mean, I guess there's no reason for them to really get in a relationship besides maybe they're just like trying to speak to Eduardo's character or something. And that like he hooked up with this girl and then got into a relationship with her, which made him seem, I don't know, like a more wholesome dude than a one night stand type of thing, I guess. But I mean, I feel like the whole hooking up scene kind of does make sense in that they're now famous, quote unquote. So I would see why they would have someone be there. I don't know why. Yeah, it had to become such an important part, but yeah, I don't know.
But that's one thing though, after looking into this story too, or like the true story, is I thought Mark was like the major douchebag. And
dude,
like,
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, everyone. I mean, I just feel like the story overall, there was like not anyone who was right and not anyone who was like really like wrong. And I feel like everyone in their own right did something like wrong or whatever.
But I just don't like the way he portrayed Mark.
Exactly. But they portrayed Mark as he was like a complete and douchebag. Cause I remember when I'm watching this film, I was like, dude, I hate this guy. He's freaking douchebag. And then
especially in the beginning when he was talking to Rooney.
Yeah.
I don't know any of their names. I just know they're actors.
Actors, yeah. And then even just like, yeah, looking into this, I was like, ugh, I don't even want to look into this because he's going to be like, whatever, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, actually, it's not exactly how it was portrayed in the film. Like at all, really.
Yeah, because he didn't meet him until after the movie came out. I think on SNL. Jesse didn't meet Mark.
Oh, meet Mark.
Oh.
I was like, meet who?
Like, wait, what?
Oh, sorry. But you know, that I'm just saying he had to just base his character off of
what, because didn't imagination. I mean, I don't know if we're gonna get into this, but didn't they base this movie off of a book that was written about whole thing? And but that book was also
Accidental Billionaire.
It was like something, I don't know, but it was like not co-written, but it was the guy who wrote it had a lot of like interaction with Eduardo, and obviously Eduardo's gonna portray himself more in like a better light, so I think that's kind of why the film also portrayed him in a better light. But yeah. Anyway, should we just get into it so we can start talking about it then?
Sure. Like,
I could go on and on about the movie.
Did it win any awards? I can't remember. I think it was nominated for one, but
yeah, it won 3 Oscars.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it won Best Writing Adapted Screenplay, Best Achievement in Film Editing, and Best Achievement in Music. And then it was also had, let's see, 5 nominations for Picture of the Year, Best Performance by an Actor for Jesse Eisenberg, Best Director for David Fincher, Best Cinematography, and Best Sound Mixing. So people will really be liking it at that award season.
I thought it was a good movie, but damn.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like music, like, yeah, I guess I can kind of see that, because I can't really, like, recall any, like, I don't know. Like, actually, maybe I don't see that actually. Cause I'm like trying to think, I'm like, nothing like stood out to me, I guess, overall. But don't know.
Yeah,
it was, I think good. The acting was good though, because I believe that that guy, what's his name, the one who played Mark Zuckerberg, Jesse Eisenberg, I think he did really well, like playing that douchebag character. But yeah. What?
No, I feel like this the movie came out at a time where like Jesse Eisenberg was like really getting typecasted into those type of roles.
Yes, definitely. I mean, hey, he does it well. I mean,
I was gonna say, I mean, I don't mind it. Like, I do like Jesse Eisenberg as an actor, but it's just like when you think about it, it's always like that fast talking guy or like the douchey guy that doesn't know any better type of thing.
Or he thinks he's like really smart or everything. Yeah. But...
he's all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Anywho,
I mean, so, let's learn about these peeps.
Let's talk about these peeps. So
I called the hose.
I know. I was like, oh my god, these.
I thought you wanted me to talk about Brenda Song's character for a second. I was just like, I was like, that's rude. Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, let's get into the main players, as we always say. Main so we peeps. Got what do they call them the Winklevi the Winklevoss twins,
yes,
Cameron and Tyler, along with what's that guy's name, oh my gosh, Divya Narendra, I don't actually really know how to pronounce his name, and then of course also,
it just bothers me so much that they didn't just hire twins to play
I know, when we were watching it, I was just like, oh my, JC again was in and out as per usual while I was watching in the living room, and I was like, oh, there's Armie Hammer, oh, ooh. He's in trouble lately.
Awkward. Yeah. But anyways, the Winklevoss twins.
Yeah. And then we also, I was like, and then our last guy here was Eduardo Saverin.
Saverin.
Yeah, I don't know. Played by Andrew Garfield.
Isn't it weird to see him? Like, isn't this his like movie that made him kind of?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Yeah, because I looked it up because if anyone forgot, he was Spider-Man twice.
Oh yeah.
So, which is like weird to think
not
about now,
Spider-Man.
That we've moved on to a new Spider-Man at this point. But I always, you know, break down my life by what Spider-Man.
Which Spider-Man era?
Yeah, by Spider-Man era. That's how I chronicle my life.
Yeah.
But he did this movie like a year or two before he was cast as Spider-Man. And this is probably one of the bigger things that he did at the time. Besides that date Emma Stone,
I was about to say besides Emma Stone.
He was the most forgettable Spider-Man. I'm sorry.
I guess
I was really excited for him to be Spider-Man because I really liked him.
Oh, same.
But I didn't. I feel like the movies, maybe not even him, the movies themselves.
I think it was the movies. The villains they chose weren't great. And I was just like, anyway, like,
and he's old.
We just keep getting like excited.
We're very talkative today.
Yeah, I know. Nicole, how's your vacation? Where's your hair?
Where's your hair? Nicole got a haircut.
Yes.
While she's on vacation.
Okay, guys. All right.
So before I get into what they sued over and got into a lawsuit over, I have like a little blurby situation about each person. Because obviously the movie just starts where they're in college, and it's kind of just like, you know, these people are rich, but it's like, why and what do they do? And like, have they always been rich?
I mean, they go to Harvard, right?
You know what I just thought about? We're doing this and it was in Harvard, and our next one is also in Boston. It's like, Boston.
Oh, I was like,
good point.
I feel like that happens a lot to us where they're like very closely linked, like one right after the other kind of a thing. Total accident. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, and it wasn't during that time. Yeah, cool, because the thing came out too. Okay, yeah, a little bit kind of close.
No more tangents. I'm kidding.
All right, so Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss were born in Southampton, New York, and were raised in Greenwich, Connecticut. So, you know, they're very classy white people. At an early age, Cameron was the left-handed, and his identical mirror image twin brother Tyler was right-handed. Whoa. So I guess they were like, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
They demonstrated a pattern of teamwork. They built Lego together. They were playing musical instruments. And at the age of 13, they taught themselves HTML and started a web page company, which developed websites for businesses.
Who does See, that?
Turn yourself, you gotta teach yourself HTML, get on that MySpace.
Yeah. I feel like I totally missed out. Like all these people were so smart and like knowing how to like, they like knew about like code, not even coding, but like about this shit before. I feel like it became such a big thing. Like everyone's trying to get into it now. And it's just, it's cool. I wish I would have had that foresight.
So they enrolled in Harvard University in 2000 for their undergraduate studies, where they majored in economics and earned an AB degree. And in 2004, they were part of the men's varsity crew, the Porcelain Club and the Hasty Pudding Club. I don't know. I'm assuming those are all final clubs or whatever they were talking about.
What is a final club? Are they like a fraternity? I'm assuming.
That's how it seemed. I didn't look into it, but they seemed kind of frat like.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Looked into it. I didn't think about it until right now. This always happens where we're talking about something and I'm like, shit, I should have looked into that.
Yeah. Let's Facebook message Mark.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So we also have Divya Narendra. Gosh, every time it's like, it doesn't even look that hard to pronounce, but for some reason it always catches me up. So he was born in the Bronx in New York and was raised in Queens. He's the oldest son of immigrant doctors from India. He scored a near perfect SAT score and graduated from Townsend Harris High School in Flushing, Queens before attending Harvard in 2000, from which he graduated with an AB cum laude in applied mathematics in 2004. He also went on to go to Northwestern University School of Law and Kellogg School of Management in 2012, earning a GAD and an MBA. So his education wasn't done at Harvard. He went on to get a couple more degrees, because why not when you're that smart?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in December of 2012, so I guess I'll preface this in saying that the movie, from everything that I looked into about like the situation of how it came about, like I'll try to give a brief rundown, as brief as I can be.
Like, explain it to us like we're pretty five.
But the movie was actually pretty close from everything that I read, that I found. So the movie was actually pretty close to how it went down. But I don't think they mention that these, I mean, I don't know if I may have missed it, but these leaked instant messages that came to light, I guess, which I will get into, but I don't think
they're the ones that were, no, the only thing I remember from the movie is like the emails that they sent back and
forth, which they brought up in the lawsuit. But I don't think they, while it was happening, were talking about that. But they did mention
instant messages.
I know. So in December 2012, the Winklevi and fellow Harvard classmate Divya sought a better way to connect with fellow students at Harvard University and other universities. The three conceived of a social network for Harvard students named Harvard Connection. The concept ultimately expanded to other schools and around the country, which I feel like they kind of made it sound, I mean, maybe this is just my impression, they made it sound like after Mark went, quote unquote, stole the idea and made Facebook, that they kind of just like dropped it and like didn't continue with it. Like it seemed like the lawsuit was way more important than anything else. But I guess the website actually did eventually get up and running and like people used it, I guess. I think it ultimately did get, not shut down, but they took it down. But they made it sound like they got nowhere with it and they were just like so angry with this Facebook thing.
I feel like it seemed like in the movie that they needed him to like do the like coding or whatever for it. Like it seemed like they might not have known how to do this, so that's why they needed him. But it turns out I guess they didn't really need him that bad, or found someone else or something. I don't know.
In January of 2003, they enlisted the help of fellow Harvard student, programmer, and friend Sanjay Mavankurv to begin building Harvard Connection. Mavankurv commenced work on Harvard Connection but departed the project in the spring of 2003 when he graduated and went to work for Google, which they do mention in the movie. Shout out to Google.
I do remember that.
After the departure of Mavankurv, the Winklevosses their names. And Narendra approached Narendra's friend, Harvard student and programmer Victor Gao, to work on Harvard Connection. Gao, a minor in Mather House, opted not to become a partner in the venture, instead agreeing to be paid in a work-for-hire capacity. He was paid $400 for his work on the website code during the summer and fall of 2003, when he then left the project. So in November 2003, at the suggestion of Victor, the Winklevosses and Narendra approached Mark about joining the Harvard Connection team. The previous Harvard Connection programmers had reportedly made progress on coding front-end pages, the registration system, a database, back-end coding, in a way users could connect with one another, which Gao called a handshake. Which sounds weird. In early November, Narendra emailed Zuckerberg saying, quote, "We're very deep in developing a site which we would like you to be a part of and which we know will make some waves on the campus." Within days, Zuckerberg was talking to the Harvard Connection team and preparing to take over programming duties from Gao. On the evening of November 25th, 2003, the Winklevosses and Narendra met with Zuckerberg in the dining hall of Harvard's Kirkland House, where they explained to Zuckerberg their idea for the website and how they plan to expand to other schools after the launch and how confidential this project is. And, you know, the importance of getting them being there first and making this website first. During the meeting, Mark allegedly entered into an oral contract with Narendra and the Winklevosses and became a partner in Harvard Connection. He was given the private server location and password for the unfinished Harvard Connection website and code, with the understanding that he would finish the programming necessary for launch. Zuckerberg allegedly chose to be compensated through an interest in the enterprise or sweat equity. So pretty much happens the way that is in the movie. I mean, the place they met's different, but he's just like, yeah, sure.
So I just find it so weird, like, how they all knew, you know, how they were like, oh yeah, there's this guy more. I don't know. I just feel like when we went to college, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know that many people.
They're all into the same kind of thing, though, too. Like, they were all kind of in the same field of, like, computers and stuff. So I think you kind of, like, know the people that are in your.
But I didn't know anyone outside of my department.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. They were like kind of in the same department adjacent or whatever the hell, because they are all kind of, you know.
Yeah, because they knew the one guy, and then that one guy kind of like redirected them to these other people, you know, so at the recommendation of.
Yeah.
So the leaked IMs, instant messages, between November 30th, 2003 and February 4th, 2004, Zuckerberg exchanged a total of 52 emails with the Harvard Connection team and engaged in multiple in-person meetings. During the same period of time, Zuckerberg engaged in multiple electronic instant message communications with people outside the Harvard Connection team. Dun, dun, dun. On March 5th, 2010, certain electronic Instagram messages from Mark's hard drive were leaked to the public. And on September 20th, 2010, Facebook confirmed the authenticity of these leaked messages in a New Yorker article. So that's, I think, where they got some of the ideas for this movie and book, like some of the what he said in the messages. And I think that's kind of why, because I think, I'm trying to remember from, yeah, the book that the movie is based on wasn't even finished yet when this movie was made, or when they were started making the movie. They based the movie off of like the, what's it called, like a manuscript or something that they kind of shop around to publishers.
Yeah.
So
yep. The second one that was like that then, Hidden Figures, was like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just like you got to get in there when you, because I think, I mean, because they do that for TV shows and movies a lot, where there's like, oh, I want to like adapt something can't really wait for the movie to come out if you want to be the first one in there and like get the movie made. So unlike, I don't know, Harry Potter or something, where it was already how many books deep before they started making the movies. So the lawsuits. In 2004, ConnectU, which that's what Harvard Connection changed their name to, is ConnectU, filed a lawsuit against Facebook alleging that creator Mark Zuckerberg had broken the oral contract. The suit alleged that Zuckerberg had copied ConnectU's idea and illegally used source code intended for the website Zuckerberg was hired to develop. Facebook countersued with respect to, I guess this is another project. I guess the Winklevosses partnered. The Winkletons, the Winklevi. I guess the Winklevosses, Divya, and another website founder, they came together, I guess, and kind of meshed their websites together. And I think that's kind of how they ended up getting Harvard Connection up and going, by meshing with this other guy's website. So, and I've never heard of any of these websites, so clearly they did well.
For real.
So an agreement settling both cases was reached in February of 2008, with the Winklevoss party receiving $20 million in cash and $45 million in Facebook stock. And then get this, then there's this whole, like, think about how Lisa's like, explain this to us like we're five. Well, this is gonna be, I've read this a couple times now, and it still is like, okay, people, like, let it go. It's all millions of dollars. Like, yeah, just let it go. So in May of 2010, however, ConnectU accused Facebook of misrepresenting the value of the stock that it turned over to the plaintiffs as part of the settlement, and sought to void the settlement. ConnectU alleged that the value of the stock was $11 million rather than $45 million as represented by Facebook at the time of the settlement. As a result, the total settlement value would have been $31 million rather than the $65 million reported. On August 26, 2010, the New York Times reported that Facebook shares were then trading at $76 per share in the secondary market, putting the value of the total settlement close to $120 million.
Damn.
If the lawsuit to revise the settlement were to succeed, the settlement value would raise to $466 million. In April 2011, Ninth Circuit Judge Alex Kaczynski said, quote, "At some point, litigation must come to an end. That point has now been reached." The twins' lawyer said that they will seek a rehearing with the entire appeals court bench, but in June of 2011, it was announced that they dropped pursuing it. So I think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
It's just, Jesus. Like, at what point is this, like, do you need more millions?
I was gonna say, I was like, was their goal just to get the money from him? Or, because I don't know, I guess to me, I thought maybe they were gonna try and take over Facebook and be like, this is actually our property because you used all of our ideas. But it seems like they just wanted the money.
I think they really just wanted to be compensated for their idea that they said they had first, because it's like, because they said it at the, I mean, I love when movies have like those little blurbs at the end of like where people are now, yeah, and what happened after the movie. Cause I think it went on to say that Mark Zuckerberg was like the youngest billionaire, yeah, or something at the time. So I feel like it's kind of that where it's just like, wow, we could have been billionaires, yeah, at the age of 20 or whatever. Yeah. Like, and you took that chance from us, so give us all your money.
Yeah, totally.
Because clearly, I mean, you can afford it.
It just kind of seemed like he did steal the idea just a little bit though. Like,
yeah, I was a little shady boy.
Seemed like a little bit he stole it.
Yeah. So the twins have since gone on to build an extensive fortune through trading in cryptocurrency. In 2015, Taylor and Cameron founded Gemini, a cryptocurrency exchange company. Tyler serves as the CEO. In June of 2019, Bloomberg reported that the twins had a combined net worth of $1.45 billion.
Oh my God.
After the price of Bitcoin surged by 22% in one day. yeah. So the Financial Times in 2019 reported that a secretive unit of the social media company was working on developing a cryptocurrency that Facebook users could use beyond the social platform, and had consulted with Gemini and Coinbase. And a spokesperson for Facebook told CNBC that they were half true. So apparently the Winklevi have met with Zuckerberg like since, mm-hmm, to actually talk about a Facebook cryptocurrency.
Oh wow.
So guess it's not all bad.
Not all bad blood there. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, they all just want to make money. So it's like, I don't, yeah, think they really care about all that. If they can work together to achieve that goal, then I could see them doing that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I don't have too much on Divya. I mean, besides he got a couple more degrees, he runs Sum Zero, which is an online community for professional investors. I guess Tyler and Cameron have invested in Divya's company. They invested $1 million into, oh wow, it. So I guess they're
good friends.
still friends.
Yeah.
still invested he, like, in each other.
Was with both of them, or was like he more besties with one over the other?
I don't know. It seems honestly like they did everything together.
Yeah.
So, all three of them. I don't think you could choose one or the other. I think they came
together.
Like,
I don't know who's who, so I'm both of your guys' friends.
He has to wait until they start writing.
Yeah.
And now it's all about typing.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the left-handed one. Okay. Have you seen pictures of them? They are interesting for sure. Like,
I think not in a while. Let me look it up.
They're just like
a very beautiful
classic example of a man. They're very manly looking men. Like, they don't look real almost.
Yeah. Oh yeah, these guys. Yeah, I remember them.
Like, they have
look like they'd be some rowers
for days. Yeah.
But their fucking foreheads look so high. Like, they just look like I was gonna say also that just reminds me, because you know how they're rowers in the movie or whatever, and in real life they were on the row team. One of my cousins, he's on the lacrosse team, and this is the time we were kind of watching and we're saying, oh yeah, you know they're rich because of like they row. And so my Chase, he was talking about my cousin saying, like, oh yeah, you know he's rich because he plays lacrosse or whatever. And so and we're like, oh my god, that's how you judge it. That's how you judge who's like rich or not, by what sport they're into or what sport they play growing up or whatever. And I'm like,
that's super funny.
Oh wait, that's the Divya right there too. Oh shit. I'll have to include this.
Divya is actually, I mean, from the pictures I saw of him, he's actually a pretty attractive guy.
I was just going to say that, like, damn.
I mean, out of all of them, I'm just like, okay, Divya.
Yeah, no, totally. I was literally just going to say that. I was like, ooh. I mean, honestly, Sean Parker is kind of like, he has some photos where he's more attractive than others.
I just like can't get over. I mean, I don't know how he is in real life, but he sounds like a douchebag. So I was just like, I can't get past that. He's like an okay looking guy.
Well, let's wait until I talk about him. Okay, that's my boy now. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. Let me go through Eduardo real quick.
Okay. Eduardo, I don't like anymore after all this. But okay.
I got mixed feelings.
Yeah.
So Eduardo Luis Savarin.
I think it's Savarin.
Savarin? Okay. I don't know.
Eduardo.
Eduardo. So Eduardo was born in Sao Paulo to a wealthy Jewish Brazilian family. What an interesting combination. And his family later moved to Rio de Janeiro. His father was a businessman working.
Because I was like, Eduardo, how do you get that name?
I know, right?
Okay, makes sense now.
Yeah, he actually doesn't, and I was obviously comparing what all these people look like, and he actually doesn't look that far off from Andrew Garfield. Like, he definitely doesn't look like Brazilian or anything. No. Like, he doesn't look like his name would be Eduardo at all. He's kind of like he's kind of a ginger. Like, he kind of has red hair. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's not
cool. Oh yeah, he looks kind of like lanky a little bit.
Yeah,
like he could be. Oh my god, this picture I'm looking at right now, he does look like the guy who played
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Spider-Man era.
He married Miss Singapore Universe in 2009.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, he's living in Singapore.
We've just been all kinds of distracted in this. It's okay.
I'm sure she did not burn anything.
So wow. His father was a businessman working in clothing, shipping, energy, and real estate. His mother was a psychologist. In 1993, the family migrated to the U.S. and settled in Miami. He attended the Gulliver Preparatory School in Miami and then attended Harvard, where he was a resident of the Elliott House, a member of the Phoenix SK Club, and president of the Harvard Investment Association. While an undergraduate...
I'm sorry, go on. Sorry. Can't interrupt anymore.
While an undergraduate at Harvard, Eduardo used his interest in meteorology to predict hurricane patterns and made $300,000 via an investment in oil futures, which they like really briefly mentioned that. And I wasn't sure if they were talking about him or talking about somebody else, but they really briefly mentioned that. In 2006, he graduated magna cum laude from Harvard with a Bachelor of Arts in Economics.
During his junior year at Harvard, he met fellow Harvard undergraduate sophomore Mark Zuckerberg. Noting the lack of dedicated social networking websites for Harvard students, the two worked together to launch the Facebook. I almost said Facebook, but it's the Facebook. In 2004, they each agreed to invest $1,000 in the site. Later, Zuckerberg and Eduardo, god dang it, Eduardo each agreed to invest another $18,000 into the operation. As co-founder, Eduardo held the role of chief financial officer and business manager. So a lot of my info I got from Business Insider, because I mean, I guess Eduardo kind of, I mean, he's been living in Singapore. I guess he like renounced his citizenship from the US. Mm-hmm. They've said that he did it to avoid paying millions of dollars in taxes. He said that is not the reason. So he's totally. He'd be living in Singapore now. So.
That is one thing though about Sean Parker that I don't like, is he's very, I guess I can talk about it later. Never mind. Okay. Okay. Oh, but one thing I was gonna say. So Eduardo, was he not in AEPI, or did he not like get into that one or the fraternity? Because you know,
did he feed chicken?
Oh yeah, I think that was the Phoenix SK Club. I mean, yeah, he did. He was in one of the fraternities, but okay. I didn't know which one because I didn't really think it mattered.
I was just curious.
Because I mean, the twins were also in a fraternity, and I was like,
they were like in every damn club. Like, okay,
yeah, pretty much. So, but yeah, so he's been in Singapore, and I guess interviews with him are kind of hard to come by, so there wasn't too much. But
he's living the crazy rich Asian life,
exactly. So Business Insider conducted a thorough investigation into the early days of Facebook, including many instant message conversations between Zuckerberg and various people, as I mentioned earlier. The investigation reveals that while Eduardo was in New York, he neglected his financial duties, causing the budding company to start sinking. Zuckerberg's family had to take out loans to help. This is particularly due to Eduardo's extensive partying in New York, while Mark, in a message conversation between the two, says he and his team have been focusing on the business.
Yes.
Which is kind of the opposite of what the movie puts. Mm-hmm.
They make it seem like he's over there working and shit in New York, and then he's over there trying to like get experience in an internship. No.
Yeah. Home.
Didn't do shit for Facebook.
So on top of that, Eduardo posted ads for his own startup on Facebook without consulting Mark or anybody else. Finally, while Eduardo while Eduardo may be the co-founder, he was not the original collaborator of Mark's. That would be Adam D'Angelo, Facebook's first CTO, as Business Insider learned in more of the conversation between Zuckerberg and D'Angelo.
I don't like Eduardo.
I don't know.
At least I don't think he's like the victim like he was portrayed in the film, at least. Like he definitely was not.
I mean, Mark definitely cheated him out of his shares and everything,
but the thing is, he did it because Eduardo wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. Like he was supposed to do a job. He was supposed to find
Sean. But who is Sean?
I will come in. When I get to my part about Sean, I'll tell you. Eduardo, he was not
pitting our people against each other.
He was supposed to find the funds and he wasn't doing his job. So of course they're going to try and edge you out of the company if you're not doing your job for the company. Hello.
But he was his friend first and he should have just told him, but I don't know. Anyway,
if that was his friend, then he would have been doing what he was supposed to do for the company then.
So Zuckerberg privately stated at the time, quote, "Eduardo is refusing to cooperate at all. We basically now need to sign over our intellectual property to a new company and just take the lawsuit. I'm just going to cut him out and then settle with him and he'll get something, I'm sure, but he deserves something. He asked to sign stuff for investments and he's lagging and I can't take the lag." So that's what Mark said. Zuckerberg's attorney warned Zuckerberg that the dilution might trigger a lawsuit for breach of fiduciary duty. Facebook filed a lawsuit against Eduardo, arguing that the stock purchase agreement Eduardo signed in October 2005 was invalid. Eduardo then filed a suit against Mark, alleging Mark spent Facebook's money, which is in turn also Eduardo's money, on personal expenses over the summer. In 2009, both suits were settled out of court. Terms of the settlement were not disclosed, and the company reaffirmed Eduardo's title as co-founder of Facebook, and Eduardo signed a non-disclosure contract after the settlement. So, and then I have a little bit of what Eduardo felt of the movie, which he spoke with Insider about. So in 2010, Eduardo wrote in an op-ed, oh, I guess it was for CNBC, commenting on the film. He says, quote, "The movie was clearly intended to be entertainment and not a fact-based documentary," he said. 2 years later, he told a Brazilian publication, quote, "Facebook wasn't built out of a Harvard dorm window, and I would never throw a laptop at someone like it appears in the movie. Not even Mark," Forbes translated. Yeah, and as I said earlier, he gave up his citizenship in 2012 ahead of Facebook going public, and currently lives in Singapore, where he is one of the richest people. Mm. He has an estimated net worth of $14.1 billion.
Oh my
billion
God.
Billion
Who
with a B.
Who needs that money? Who needs that much money?
I know. He's now a venture capitalist.
Well, yeah.
I need it. Well, he's now a venture capitalist, but most of his wealth comes from his stake in Facebook. He founded B Capital in 2016, a venture capital firm which invests in late stage tech firms, according to Forbes. And yeah, he's married to Elaine Andre Jansen, who works in finance, and they have one child.
But no, what I was going to say was that I think that's what all of them say about the film, is that it's like not like depicting
entertainment.
Really. Yeah, exactly. Like they're saying like it's not really like, I mean, like I guess kind of those events happen. Like obviously we're seeing like some connection to the events that happened in real life, but they're saying that it's like not, they personally weren't portrayed correctly, I guess, like how they would react to things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, everyone says that. Prince Harry said that.
I was going to say, everybody says it.
That's true. But I mean, like,
unless
at least
they're dead.
I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that Eduardo didn't say this, since it was kind of based off of things. I feel like it kind of put him more in the better light with things, you know, and thing. I don't know.
Well, maybe he.
Yeah, but you probably didn't
like
want people to think
that. Victim.
Yeah.
I was going to say he didn't want people to think that he fed chicken.
chicken.
Yeah. Which, I mean, not to throw my mom under the bus, but she has fed pig to pig before. So it's like, you know what?
Shit happens.
She was very drunk.
You know?
We were at the fair.
Oh my God. That's just like I mean, like to me, it's like at first it's like, oh, that's not weird, because like whatever. But then you think about it, that's like, yeah, a human eating human or something like that. It's like, ooh. Well, weird. But
it's not how like mad cow happens or something.
I think that's how COVID happens. No, I'm just
kidding. God. Oh, God. Okay, so can I start talking about my boy Sean now?
Yes, go for it with Sean.
The thing is, I actually don't have that much to say. Like, I didn't write out that much. I think I just have like opinion, like, or whatever.
You're just feeling strong about him.
Well, I think because he is not, at least I was the most surprised when I started looking at him. I was like, okay, I thought, I was thinking like it was going to be how I felt about Mark, how I was like, this guy's a tool, so like I don't give a shit about him. And then when I was reading stuff about him, I was like, oh, actually he's like not that bad, like, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Sean Parker, so how he got involved with Facebook. So in the film we see Sean Parker discovered the Facebook on the computer of his one night stand, and this is,
oh my god, did you see that was Dakota?
Yeah.
See, that was another one. I was going to bring that up earlier when I was talking about all the young actors. She was like, is that Dakota Johnson? What is she doing?
Yeah, Dakota. But that didn't happen. He actually discovered it on his roommate's girlfriend's computer. So, I mean, I guess it was kind of true, but it was like a different person, a different like relationship, I guess, you know? So once he saw it, he sent out an email to Mark saying that he thinks they should meet, and they do meet. Sean actually flew out to New York to meet with Mark and I guess his people. But they actually didn't immediately start working together. It was until like a few months later when I guess randomly Mark and Sean ran into each other, like on the street of Palo Alto, like they happened to just bump into each other again. And then after that, I guess basically Mark invited Sean to move in with them or into the house, because I guess Sean was like not homeless, but he didn't have a house, and I think he was unemployed too at the time. So Mark was like, hey, you can just come live with us and you can, you know, do stuff for us then. That's basically how that happened. And so what did he do for Facebook? So this is where I'm like, okay, I don't like Eduardo, because basically he did what Eduardo didn't. Like, his job was So Sean's job was tasked with finding funds for Facebook. And since he like knew his way around Silicon Valley, because, you know, he created Napster, he was able to do so. And he actually found Facebook's first investor, which his name is Peter Thiel. And so, yeah, that's why I was like, okay, Eduardo was like not a good guy, because like, that's what, why did you have to bring in Sean if that job was already done? Okay. You know? So yeah.
I feel like though, but I don't know. I feel like it's not very fair to compare them, because like Eduardo was on the same experience. Yeah. Eduardo was on the same level as Mark. Like literally they are just college children.
And he wasn't even trying though. He was out partying.
Probably was to some extent, and then partying at night. I don't know.
Okay, maybe. I don't maybe know. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'll give you that much. Okay. Yeah. He was still new. So I guess Sean did have the upper hand in that sense, because he found a Napster and he was kind of, you know, already in this type of field and work and stuff like that. And also he was like a pretty smart kid. I didn't like write anything specifically about him, but like growing up, he was the same. He was very into coding and all that stuff, HTML, into doing all that stuff. And he actually, his family allowed him to skip college because I forget what it was, but he skipped college because of something, but basically it's because he was just really good at in this type of stuff. So his family was like, okay, fine, we'll let you skip college because you're doing so well in this. And I guess also, these are just fun facts that I found. I think he was like almost like recruited by the CIA for being so good at like hacking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that also contributed to the reason why he was able to skip college, because he was just so good at all the stuff that he was doing. So it's like almost like he didn't even need college. College needed him. Okay. But anyways, so yeah, he found their first investor, Peter Thiel. Okay. It was around this time that he actually replaced Eduardo as the president of the Facebook as well. In the initial round of funding, Sean also negotiated for Zuckerberg to retain 3 of Facebook's 5 boards each, which gave Zuckerberg control of the company and allowed Facebook the freedom to remain a private company. He being Sean Parker, is said to have championed Facebook's clean user interface and developed its photo sharing function. And Zuckerberg notes that Sean was pivotal in helping Facebook transform from a college project into a real company. So he was actually really important. I feel like at least in the film, they portrayed him as more of just like the partier, and he didn't really actually have anything to do with like helping push Facebook. Yeah. Like push it forward and like move it in the right direction. But in reality, I feel like he had a lot to do with that. He like hooked them up with the right people.
Didn't he also get arrested for cocaine possession? You know what? Just not the way that's, that they portrayed
that's
it
what,
in the
that's,
movie.
That's what I'm about to get into. Okay?
Hiring a cokehead.
That's what I'm about to get into right now. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say he fucked it up, because you know that's what the thing was like. How did he almost fuck it up? Right. I'm assuming that's what.
Well, he almost did.
He didn't almost fuck it up. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that, but I would say that he was caught partying. Well, he's not even caught partying. So like in the film, he was caught partying with some college kids, but in reality, he was just arrested for possession. Okay. But he was never actually charged with it. But it wasn't even that he was like, it got in trouble for, because he wasn't even charged, right? It was just Facebook who kind of pressured him to kind of step down from his position, just because they thought, you know, this isn't a good look for our investors. Our investors don't want to invest in a company that is being
run by a cokehead.
Okay, you know what? But even though he did resign, he's kind of, I guess, like the Winklevi, as you said, and that he actually still met up with Mark frequently, and he did kind of contribute things and kind of just like stayed in contact,
like a mentor.
Him. Yeah, I guess you can say like he like helped him, like, you know, they met up regularly and discussed things. And yeah, also another fun fact. See, that's like pretty much all I have.
He had a Lord of the Rings wedding.
Oh yeah, he did have a Lord of the Rings wedding. And he,
Nicole.
No, yeah, I know. Kind of like over the top. But I guess they spent like, I forget how much. It was like an astronomical amount on this wedding. But they also provided an outfit, like a Lord of the Rings outfit, for each person that attended their wedding. Like they just had an outfit ready for the person. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, they really were like over the top about it. But I'm like, I don't know. It's like he doesn't. His pictures, at least, maybe just because he's well groomed and he has money, he doesn't seem like the type that would be like that. But I guess they are all nerds, so that makes sense.
All nerds deep down inside.
I forget, they just have money now that they can make themselves look good. But
who did he marry? Miss America?
No, I don't know the name. I didn't look at, I wasn't looking into who they were marrying. But one thing that I thought was super interesting was that he was involved with Spotify.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He kind of did the same thing with Spotify that he did with Facebook, and that he kind of like heard of the company. And then he sent the person at Spotify an email kind of like, hey, we should meet up, you know,
he's leading to their DMs.
Yeah. Basically like that's what he does. It seems like he doesn't even come up with the ideas. He just like, here's someone who has a good idea. And then he's like, hey, how can I help you kind of a thing? Or let me help you like connect with the right people. But yeah, so he sent the founder an email and he invested some money into the company. And then, he was actually also on Spotify's board until 2017. And he created a partnership between Facebook and Spotify in 2011. And yeah, so I forget what it was that he did with Facebook. Cause I don't recall it at all. I think it was something about like sharing music or something like that on Facebook, but I'm like, I don't remember that at all on Facebook. But either way, I was thinking about it too when I was reading up on him. I was like, oh, because he did Napster, and that's kind of like what Spotify is. And then I was like reading, and it turns out he was also involved with Spotify. I'm like, oh, that makes sense that he would just hop on to the next thing, you know. But also, okay, now this is kind of one of the reasons why I like him, is that he is very like philanthropic. He, you know, is involved with a lot of these charities. I forget the name.
Mark.
Okay, whatever. I guess they all have so much money, they should be involved with charities so they can donate money and time and stuff like that.
But or is it actually a way for them to hide their money?
Because one of his companies is his own. One of the ones actually, oh my God. Because one of the philanthropies is one with his like name. It's like Sean Parker or something. I forget. I don't remember the
Mark's is or they actually know theirs is a company. Wow. Like the,
okay, you know what? They're Zuckerberg. I don't like any of them now. About what I was saying earlier about he's kind of, I guess, politically, he's like on all kind of sides. Like, I feel like he goes to whatever side is going to benefit him. Like, he's not one, like, he's not Democrat, he's not Republican. He like funds or like gives money to both sides, people on both ends of it, just because whatever they're doing, if it benefits him, he's like for it. And I think he isn't for like the increase of taxes and stuff like that for rich people. So basically I was like, I don't know about that. But yeah, he's all over the place, like on the political spectrum. But yeah, that's my boy, Sean. I guess my only thing is I just feel like they portrayed him as much more of a douchebag and like kind of like out to get someone than he actually is in real life. I feel like in real life, he was very much just an entrepreneur who was trying to find like, you know, the best things to put his money into and move companies along kind of a thing. So he's not that bad of a guy, you know?
It just created good like drama in the movie.
Yeah. And I mean, he's a rich dude, so maybe he's not actually as good of a guy in general, because I feel like after a while they probably lose sight of, you know, things a little bit. But yeah, just not the same as how he was portrayed in the movie. Okay, but yeah, that's my boy Sean Parker. I know we're about to learn about the man himself, Mark Zuckerberg, but we are going to get into that right after this short ad break.
So originally I put Harvard days, but then like he didn't really spend that much time in Harvard. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put early
Harvard
days.
School dropout.
For real. So Mark grew up in New York. His mom was a psychiatrist and his dad was a dentist. Mark began using computers and writing software in middle school. His father taught him Atari, I think that's what it's called, basic programming in the 90s. He later hired a software developer to tutor him privately. His father's dental practice was operated in their home, and Mark built a software that he called ZuckNet that allowed the... all the computers between the house and the dental office to communicate to each other. So it's kind of considered the primitive version of AOL Instant Messenger, which came out the following year. So as Nicole said, that made me feel really dumb.
Not even just dumb, just like unmotivated. Like I feel dumb. Well, yeah, but like, I just mean like, I don't know. I'm not in my spare time thinking like, what can I create? I'm just chilling.
Well, I would say that, you know, his parents really watered that seed, right? Because he seemed to have an interest, and then his dad taught him a little bit and then even hired a private tutor. That's, you know, that's helping develop what's going on in that brain. A New York Profile said of Mark, some kids play computer games. Mark created them. Mark himself recalls the period. I had a bunch of friends who were artists. They'd come over, draw stuff, and I'd build a game out of it. The New Yorker piece noted that Mark was not, however, a typical geek. So I guess, like, I think because of the hair with Jesse, what's that kid's name in Saved by the Bell?
Oh, Screech.
Like, yes. I think, like, they don't want us to think he was like that type of geek. He was actually like, you know, a cool kid who also developed computer games. But Harvard, he started attending Harvard in 2002 and had already achieved a reputation as the programming prodigy. In his sophomore year, he wrote a program that he called Course Match, which allowed users to make class selections decisions based on the choice of other students and also helped them form study groups. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I feel like at school, we kind of had, we had stuff that we can rate my professor, right? You can look at that. A short time later, he created a different program he initially called Face Mash that let students select the best looking person from a choice of photos. At Harvard, they had these books called Facebooks, which included the names and pictures of everyone who lived in the student dorm. And that's where Mark got the photos to use. Mm-hmm. Mark's roommate at the time said he built the site for fun. So that's what we saw in the movie.
Mm-hmm. They have Facebooks, those books, like other schools too, not just Harvard.
I mean, I'm sure they did. It's just kind of made sense.
I know that Stanford has them because my friend went to Stanford and I saw the Facebooks. Because I was
Facebooks.
Oh yeah, because it's so weird.
Yeah, because she was showing me. It's basically like a yearbook, essentially. I think that's how I thought of it as. Because when she was showing me, and I was like, "Oh, that's like the Facebook, like the website." She's like, "Oh yeah." She's like, "I don't know why." It's like I don't know. Cause, you know, we didn't know at the time, but that's like where the name came from. And she was showing me someone. I forget, probably someone she thought was attractive or something like that. And so she was showing me it. So I guess essentially, I guess the Facebook really was doing what people we're already trying to do, like look at other people and whatever, you know. But anyways, sorry, go on, Lisa.
Find out if they're single.
Yeah. You run into them like, oh, have I met you before?
You look familiar. How do I know you?
All right. Okay. Where was I? Oh, so the site went up over a weekend, but by Monday morning, the college shut it down because its popularity had overwhelmed one of Harvard's network switches and prevented students from accessing the internet. In addition, many students complained that their photos were being used without permission. Mark apologized publicly, and the student's paper ran articles stating that his site was completely improper. It's like, okay. I'm like, oh yeah. I was like, it's funny because now it makes me think of Tinder. Facebook. February 4th, 2004, Mark launched Facebook. Or the Facebook, sorry. Facebook. He launched it from his Harvard dormitory. An earlier inspiration for Facebook may have came from the Phillips Exeter Academy, the prep school Mark graduated from in 2002. It published its own student directory, the photo address book, which students referred to as the Facebook. Such photo directories were an important part of students' social experience at many private schools. With them, students were able to list attributes like their classes or their class years, their friends, and their telephone numbers. I know, right?
It's like, well, like, so what a weird.
Weird. Yeah. But we lived through that time. Like, that's what
I,
you know?
I was just thinking, that's like, yeah, like, I guess that was a while ago, like 2004 and stuff. But I'm like, it doesn't feel like it was like, I remember what I was doing. And well, not what I was doing, but I remember, you know, 2004.
We were
like,
on MySpace. Okay.
Yeah, we were.
So originally the Facebook was a Harvard. We already talked about how it's a Harvard thing. And it moved around. Yeah, they moved to Palo Alto with Mark and his roommate Dustin. They moved there to, you know, continue growing the business. They leased a house and served it as a small office. After they got their first investment, they were able to get their first office, and that was in mid-2004. And they were planning to go back to Harvard, but decided to stay in California to grow their business. In 2005, that's when they purchased the domain.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Did he graduate college ever?
No, but they did give him an honorary diploma, I think, in 2017.
Oh, okay. I don't mean 2017. Yeah. That's late.
Yeah.
They but just want to say
they do
that
something.
Didn't they just want to say for RBG
went to our school.
I mean, yeah, they give him honorary degrees all the time, but I don't know. That seems like a late in the game, but I don't know.
So they dropped the in the Facebook in 2005.
That scene in the movie. Drop the.
I was gonna say, was it because of Sean Parker? Did he yeah. tell them to do that?
Well, I think also, that did happen. Yeah.
What's better than $1 million? $1 billion.
So dumb. But everyone always talks about that quote. Dumb. And when I watched it, then I was like, okay, it wasn't even that like
his character impactful. Is such a tool.
Yeah. So one big thing I wanted to talk about was just like the impact that Facebook had, I guess, and Mark, kind of more Mark. So like something I totally forgot about until I like was looking up a picture of Mark is that he in the photo, he was wearing a black hoodie and jeans. And I don't know if you guys remember, but like all of a sudden everyone was talking about how CEOs stopped wearing suits and they're now all wearing hoodies mm-hmm. and jeans.
Yeah.
And now it's like the thing. And it's like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. Cause you know, all of this has been around for like 15 years now. And
yeah.
And we've grown accustomed to it, but now all of this
wasn't he the type of person too to like buy a million of one thing of clothes so that he didn't have to waste time thinking about what to put on in the morning? Didn't he say that?
Well, that
okay, Steve Jobs.
Steve, yeah, like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, like I feel too, like
so.
Yeah.
So just like
yeah.
I can't be bothered to put my mind energy on clothes. I'm yeah, just thinking about all my wear. Mind energy on technology. Mm-hmm. Like okay, oh. get over yourself.
That's how, you know. Like that's one of the ways they change it. Cause I don't think like, you don't think about what Steve Jobs wore, right? Like I remember everyone was talking about well, his black Mark's turtleneck. Outfit. What?
His black turtleneck.
No, I know, but
I know you're saying that. Yeah. I know you're getting it.
So in 2011, Facebook was ranked as the best place to work. And again, served as a reminder to me of how they changed the workplace culture. Because when I was growing up, I felt like everything was like the show, The Office, like it's that, boring. You know, dull color with a gray carpet. Yeah. Everyone's business casual. You know, there's the manager mostly is paying for like any type of parties that's happening. So Facebook, well, obviously it's not just Facebook, like Google is known for this as well, but we heard about it growing up, right? So Facebook and Google are the best places to work. Yeah, they let you
Google specifically.
Yeah. But like, yeah. So to me, I'm like, those two are one big or two big places that really changed the game in terms of like the workplace culture, the perks and everything. And me, I work for a tech company and I hear this all the time and how tech companies these days, they have to have those perks because that is how they compete with the other tech companies to get employees people, to yeah that's how they recruit people. So if we can't compete with another tech company, like people just leave working here to go to the competitor.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep them with these perks, and that is mind-blowing to me because again I feel like we just grew up with the whole, you know, like The Office where you get what you get and you don't yeah. throw a fit.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And it's like unfortunate that some companies and like they don't care about morale. Morale is like yeah. the biggest thing that you could, yeah. you know, put your like, because it's kind of like when JC was on the submarine, it's just like their command would do stuff to them and morale. Like you're a group of 100, 150 guys, like it's a tight knit group. And it's just like, really, you're going to do these things to bring everybody down. And everybody, it's like, why would they then want to do their job? Yeah, exactly. If like they're unhappy and like, there's no reason for them to. It's just morale's important. And it's just like the perks of, oh, I'm going to take this slide and some of the stairs. Like,
yeah. Well, you also have to realize how much money you're also saving by retaining these employees, because it costs a lot more money to train somebody new versus keeping somebody for 10 years. So just giving people perks and good benefits, it's like, oh my God, how was that mind blowing? You know, just treat your employees well. But Facebook's not the best place to work anymore. That's what happens, right? It's been quite a while. Oh, it's been 10 years, right? Since then. What else? So in 2010, Steve Levy, who wrote the article, wrote the 1984 book, Hackers, Heroes of the Computer Revolution. He said that Mark clearly thinks of himself as a hacker. Mark said that it's okay to break things to make them better. Facebook instituted hackathons held every 6 to 8 weeks where participants would have one night to conceive of and complete a project. The company provided music, food, and beer at the hackathons, and many Facebook staff members, including Mark, who regularly attended. The idea is that you can build something really good in a night, Mark told Steven. And that's the personality of Facebook now. It's definitely very core to my personality. Okay, remember that's 2010, okay? So I don't know if they still have hackathons, but that totally makes sense. And we kind of saw like
doing shots like they were in the movie.
In that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's so,
I'm like, how do you focus? Like, I'm trying to do.
The point is that, you're comparing yourself to see if you can still hack it. But okay, the reason why I brought that up is because I heard about this with Amazon. I couldn't find any articles, but I'm pretty positive like they do this. So you know how Amazon kind of had like some major cities, they have it in Amazon store. So you can just go in with your Prime account, buy whatever, and just check out with your Prime account. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have any cashiers and everyone's like, okay, well, how are you going to handle loss prevention? You know, you don't have anybody working there. People are just able to go in and grab whatever they want. And Amazon's like, yeah, you know, we trust our system is that good. And if anyone steals, we want you to steal because then you're showing us how you're stealing. Mm-hmm. And then we could come up with a way to prevent that. Yeah. And it's like crazy. So I think that kind of goes with Mark's mentality of, yeah, break it because then I figure out a way to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Because wasn't for art. Does Google still do this? I don't know. There was like one big tech company where they would actually like pay the person to like hack their websites.
I think I've heard of that too.
Yeah. If you were like able to do it, like to break in or whatever, they would actually pay you.
Or isn't that something even with like the CIA or FBI people do, like once they find someone who like breaks into their system, then they end up kind of like taking them on. Like we've heard like,
Frank Abagnale.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, what's his name? Him. Like he like cheated them so many times and they're like, actually, can you work for us? So we can like learn how to like catch more people that are it like you sense. And tricking us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess I obviously don't think it's like Mark started it, but I think it's more part. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I felt like,
I mean, it makes sense.
You know, he did it. And then you hear Amazon's doing that. Mm-hmm. So there was like one other thing that I like when Nicole was talking, I was like, yeah, that's another thing that happened, but I can't remember what it is now because I didn't write it down. Hopefully
I was yelling at about my boy, Sean Porker.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, anyways, the other thing I wanted to point out is that do you guys know that Mark actually makes $1 a year? That's his salary.
I feel like I heard of this.
Oh yeah. I've heard of CEOs doing that.
Yeah. And obviously, again, I don't think he's the only, he didn't start that. That's been going on for years and years and years.
I'm so rich. I only need to work for, that reminds me of The Office. Like you're already saying, what's her name? Kelly saying like, if I was whatever, I would work and for $1 a year. And I would come in at whatever time. And then they're like, okay. Or like, and she kept going like on and she's like, I work for $1 a year or whatever. I don't know if you remember that. I mean, obviously I'm not, what's her name? Who plays that character?
Mindy.
So I'm not delivering it like she does. Okay. Yeah. But like, it's really funny.
No, you know what's so funny? Whenever I think about The Office, I always thought, you know, am I a Jim? Am I a Pam? No, I'm Kelly Kapoor. Because whenever people want to say like, hey Lisa, what's new? I want to be like, oh my God, did you hear about Courtney and Travis? Like I would do that. I'd be like, well, Courtney and Travis started dating, and then Kendall announced that she's having a baby, and then like, and they'd be like,
Kendall announced that she's having a baby.
Kylie.
Oh, okay.
Did announce it?
Yeah, Kylie said that, or they said that Kylie's pregnant with her second child.
Oh, yeah. Okay, she didn't announce it. She didn't confirm.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, and then, and then it's like Kanye and Kim might be remarried. I don't know.
Nah. I like to, but then we're over here entertaining it. We're like, yeah. Oh, what?
No, but if I did that at work, they would have a Jim's reaction. Like, what about you? I just told you. All right, so yeah, they have the $1 a year salary, which basically means that if they're saying they only make $1 a year, so they're not going to get taxed, but everything that, you know, helps their lifestyle is paid for by their companies.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's I know
it's icky.
Yeah, that's some fucking bullshit right there.
Yeah. One thing I really wanted to say though is that I think everyone should watch The Social Dilemma. Is it still on Netflix? I totally forgot to check, but that was on Netflix last year.
I think it was a Netflix thing.
So I think that you should
talking about it.
You should watch it because it kind of continues to tell you about how Facebook has impacted our society. And you know, watching this 2010 version,
it's a Netflix documentary.
Okay, good. it's so like, you know, Facebook when it's all cute and everything, because I don't know if you guys heard the whole time they were like, Mark saying, I don't want to put ads in on Facebook. Like he was like, no ads, or like, if anything, like the minimum amount of ads. And now you go on Facebook and you see ad every second, right?
Mm-hmm. So and it's Instagram like, too now, everything's like not everything, but they do have a lot of ads on Instagram now too.
Yeah. And people even like make, you know, YouTube videos are like, oh, I bought, you know, what I saw on my Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And it's like a thing now. And that's what we know Facebook as, and how that has actually changed, you know, all of us, and how our data is out there, how, excuse me, everyone, you know, it's not that the FBI is watching us. It's just the fact that it's like our own algorithm, right?
Totally.
So it's crazy because it's all Facebook and it's how divided a lot of people are. I think that was the craziest thing is how, you know, 10 years ago before Facebook and everything like that, people had like similar beliefs. And now, it, you know, especially with the election, you just see everyone far left, far right. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah. It really changes your perspective on.
Well, yes. Yeah, it like polarizes people a lot.
Yeah.
Cause they do talk about that in that documentary about even.
Oh, dude. You know, what's crazier is that a lot of those CEOs or I don't think there's a lot of CEOs in that show, but I think that there was a lot of people who worked for tech companies. They say that they don't have a Facebook. You know, they say like they have Facebooks, like they don't want
this thing they're created.
Yeah. And when you hear that, you're like, what? You worked on it, you know, and they won't let their kids, and they don't have one. So it's like, well, you don't have one
any final thoughts about Facebook?
Yeah. I actually deleted my Facebook app after I watched that movie. Yes. Mm. Yeah. I deleted my Facebook app, and I only go on Facebook like very every now and then.
I deleted my shit.
I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Just because like I never use it. Like even Instagram, I'm like, I don't even want to have that anymore. But then I just keep it because I'm like, well, they make it hard to delete your shit though too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like hardly on either one of them. I just like check on there like every once in a while, but it's just like
I'm always on Instagram.
Oh, but that's one thing too. I think I was I learned from The Social Dilemma how they were saying, because you know on YouTube at least how they like have like suggested or whatever. They were saying like, I mean obviously it's okay if you hit some suggested things, but they said if you can like just search specifically for things, but then again it all kind of goes, but I guess they said it's better to, if it's on your subscription page, and if you see it on your suggested one, go to your subscriptions versus hitting the hit, even if it's the same video, instead of hitting it on your suggested one, go to like your subscription one and hit and play the video. And they're saying some other stuff, so I actually do that. So if I see like one of my videos that I'm subscribed to on my suggested,
what is the reason?
I forget,
so the algorithm isn't winning. I don't know.
basically essentially. And because in that way they'll like keep suggesting certain things to you, and like they'll know that, oh, if we suggest these things to her, she's going to keep hitting them, so like just like keep sending you stuff that they suggest. So yeah, I do that. Well, not all the time, but I do it. If I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, let me go to my subscription page instead of hitting it on my suggested page.
I think there's another thing was about like notifications, something about how quickly you like click on the notification, like, you know, when you receive the notification, like
I just put everything on my phone as do not notify me for anything. Because I hate getting notifications.
Do not tell me.
Well, I just hate getting even text messages. Like, I always mute like all my text messages, because I'm not all of them, but a lot of them, because I just hate hearing like pings like on my phone. I just like, I don't know.
Phone's always on vibrate.
Yeah. See, I don't keep it on vibrate, but like I just have all, I don't, because Chase has his shit notifying him. And I'm like, how does that not like annoy you? Like, I would just annoy me to like have everything constantly like just notifying me.
No, but that's addicted to some people. Like some people out there love that, the notifications, you know, and that's, maybe he's an addict.
Maybe he freaking has a million and one emails too that he never unsubscribes
from. Oh god, so like, does JC.
It drives me crazy. I'm like, you can just unsubscribe. He's like, I do, and then they keep sending me another one. I was like, yeah, because it's different mailing lists from the same company, so you have to unsubscribe from all or like each one, you know, or you like hit the all button instead.
Unroll me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, oh my god, how do you have so many emails? Anyways,
anyhow,
let me close this out. Thanks for joining us this week on the Internet Historians. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and give us a rating. We would also love to connect with you, so give us a follow on Instagram and subscribe to us on YouTube. Next week, we'll be discussing the Boston Priest scandal from the movie Spotlight. So don't forget to tune in. Thanks again, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.